This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
I'm a senator. I gotta raise $10,000 a day every day I'm in Washington. I ain't getting it in South Central. I'm getting it in Beverly Hills. So I'm voting in the Senate the way they want me to, and I'm sending them my bills. But we got babies in South Central dying as young as they do in Peru. We got public schools that are nightmares. We got a Congress that ain't got a clue. We got kids with submachine guns. We got militias throwing bombs. We got Bill just getting all weepy. We got Newt blaming teenage moms. We got factories closing down. Where the hell did all the good jobs go? Well, I'll tell you where they went. My contributors make more profits making hiring kids in Mexico.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the show where we promise the impossible.
Shit. I know she's barren with all that starving bullshit. And the dust storms, and we running out of french fries and burrito coverings.
Yeah.
But I got a solution.
That's what you said last time, dipshit.
I got a solution. You're a dick.
South Carolina, what's up?
I am your host, the Stimulator, and as the race for the Imperial Top Pimp Master of the United Snakes distracts the public, I decided to throw my hat in. That's right, motherfuckers. In 2012, it's Stim for Prez.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the U.S. motherfucking A, the Stimulator.
My fellow slaves, we're facing a clusterfuck crisis that's gonna destroy this motherfucking planet and take us all down with it. Yes, my sisters and brothers in wage servitude, you'll know that none of the stupid fucking candidates are going to address our grievances and our demands. That is why, if you vote for me, I promise to fire all the motherfucking pigs. That's right, no more cops to fuck with our communities. I promise to free all the prisoners and destroy all the jails, including Guantanamo Bay. As your president, I will close down all U.S. military bases, bring back all the troops home, and turn the Pentagon into a free graffiti wall. But that's not all. I will abolish property, dissolve the corporate charter, and repossess the mansions of the 1% and turn them into social housing. This will be followed by giant parties where massive piles of useless greenbacks will be set aflame as we dance on the ruins of corporate America. I promise to relocate Bush and Cheney to Fallujah, stop selling weapons to Israel, and reveal the identities of all CIA agents on primetime TV. If you click like on the Stimulator box, I will stop all oil imports, make all growth logging illegal, open the Mexico and Canada borders, dismantle the federal government, return all stolen native land, and give you all free tacos every fucking Tuesday. Alright, enough of that fucking delusion. We all know that even if the benevolent Ralph Nader got elected, no significant change will come. The basis of this nation is slavery and genocide, and no amount of reform will fix it. This shit is rotten to the core, and I know that we can do better than try to fix industrial capitalism. That is why the only promise I'll make you today is that I will not waste any more of your motherfucking time covering this stupid charade we call American democracy. Peeps in Egypt know this well. Even after a historic election, the motherfucking pigs in the military keep ruling the scene. Clashes with the Poe continue in Cairo, and protests have spread to other parts of Egypt, where the people are calling for the end of the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces.
I came to the streets today because none of the demands of the revolution were met under the rule of the military. The situation gets worse every day, and there's no security.
Pigs have the same swiney behavior no matter where you live. In Brazil, 1,800 cops brutally evicted the residents of Pinheiro, home to over 9,000 poor peeps. It made no difference to the police who lived there, and they used tear gas and pepper spray against children and later bulldozed the entire community. In Syria, the city of Homs has been relentlessly shelled by the so-called rulers of that country, who are fearful of getting their asses handed to them by the motherfucking Syrian resistance. Same fucking deal there. The army don't give a shit if you're a child, and if you happen to be on the right side of the struggle, they'll bomb your fucking legs off. Yep, my fellow slaves, if you don't think that the ruling classes are waging war against us, then you best wake the fuck up and learn to defend yourself. Like peeps in the Bay Area, who use shields to protect themselves against a brutal attack by the FUS after Occupy Oakland attempted to take over an empty convention center to use as their headquarters of revolutionary action. kicking it up a notch, the motherfucking resistance in Bahrain took the war to the popo and has turned up the heat in the run-up to the February 14th anniversary of their uprising against the inbred monarchs of the so-called Island Kingdom. Attacks against law enforcement continued in cyberspace as the righteous geeks from Anonymous sliced through the butter-soft security of websites owned by the Boston and Salt Lake City pigs. Anonymous also intercepted a call between the FBI and Scotland Yard, where they discussed some really important business.
Everyone can say what they want about Krispy Kreme, but compared to Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kreme can totally suck it. So, yay, Dunkin' Donuts!
From the police, run a tape for the underclass. Get the face, name, and number on the badge. They flash, we flash back when they act disorderly. React accordingly and capture all that we see. Nightsticks, zip ties, and tasers. Think your license for tight, vicious behavior. Make a tight miss with the video trend toward the pig like this. He tripping, you make him paint us. Explain to a judge the bounds you overstepping. 2011, time to change our method. We aiming lenses at the state's weapon. Today, remember who's goddamn streets they're protecting. Yeah, they rather see me in a cell than me in my cell with a different story to tell. Camcorder by the dash, next time you get stopped, reach for the celly if you want to shoot a cop on the public sidewalk. You could take what you see, a film from your window with the view of the street. Neighborhood crime watch, we police the police. They can't arrest the whole community because the streets clock these cops occupying blocks, harassing the homeless with batons and pulling glocks. They stop low for protests and let off shots, abuse prostitutes and misuse power they got in memory of the victims who were never forgot. We gotta exercise our right to shed light in the dark.
On my second week on the land down under, I attended the 40th anniversary of the Aboriginal Tent Embassy in Canberra. You could say the Tent Embassy is the originator of the Occupy movement, as Aboriginal activists set up a structure in front of the Aussie Parliament to demand that the invaders return back their stolen land. During the 40th celebration, word got out that the leader of the opposition said that Aboriginal people and their supporters should move on. Tempers flared as people found out that the slimy politician and the prime minister were gangsta chilling at a cafe nearby. A mob of peeps surrounded the restaurant and let motherfuckers know that the Tent Embassy was not going anywhere. Eventually, the riot pigs came out and escorted the panic-stricken politicians off the scene. To add some comedy to this tense situation, the prime minister lost her fucking shoe.
Invite and to extend an invitation to the Prime Minister of Australia to attend the new Aboriginal Parliament to kindly receive a lost shoe. We are not a nation of thieves, and we hope that in a gesture of goodwill, the Prime Minister of Australia will respond in a like chord and start looking at issues that seriously affect Aboriginal people.
To find out more about the Aboriginal Tent Embassy, I spoke with Aboriginal activist Robbie Thorpe. So, Robbie, how the fuck did the idea of the Tent Embassy start?
I suppose you have to go back to 1967 when Aboriginal people were allowed to become citizens of this country. We went from being classified as flora and fauna to being eligible to become citizens. And when that happened, it enabled us to become own property, gave us a little bit of rights. And in 1972, which was 5 years after that point, four young men from Sydney came down to the what was the existing parliament then and sat in front of it in a protest. They used an old beach umbrella as their embassy, and from there it's grown to what it is today.
But why an embassy? Aren't embassies used by foreign countries?
Well, average people feel like we're treated as foreigners in our own country, for a start. And you need to sort of understand the history of Australia to understand why we're here at the embassy today. And it's all about the unresolved fundamental legal issues, namely the failure to recognise the sovereignty of our people, the law of this land, the unresolved issues of genocide, and the lack of a treaty in this country. It's the only Commonwealth country without a treaty, Australia. There's some 76 odd countries that make up the Commonwealth. Australia's the only one who hasn't got a treaty. And it's not a small country. This is a continent with many black nations on it. No treaty here. Now, a treaty is an international legal instrument for peacemaking. That's why we're here. There's no peace in this country. We're at war with the colonisers. It's an illegal occupation. And they've been committing crimes against our humanity since the day they arrived.
What are the crimes Australia has committed against your people?
Britain had the intent to destroy the Aboriginal people of this country. Now, that's why they declared it a terra nullis, an empty land. That's why they had a constituted white-only policy. That's why they had so many reservations in this country. You know, that's a nice name for them. They're really called concentration camps, where they concentrated the Aboriginal people who survived the smallpox holocaust. Those people were rounded up and put in these concentration camps and left there to die. You know, and, you know, it's the resistance and the of Aboriginal people and the ability to survive has kept us alive. I don't know if people know what the Stolen Generations things is about. It's when they removed our children when they were in these reserves. They stopped us speaking our languages. And it was a total intent to destroy in this country. In fact, it still is. That's what it's about. They've got the intent to destroy. Until there's a treaty or some sort of documents of accord that, you know, sort out the issues of consent and things like that, Australia's a crime scene. It's still an ongoing war crime scene.
And what is the message that Aboriginal people want to broadcast to the rest of the world?
Our people got a just cause. We want to get our message out to the wider community, to the global community. Make sure they understand what's going on here, because something's going to erupt here soon, and we want people to understand why it's going on. It's not us oppressing or committing terrorist acts against the white people in this country. It's them doing that to us. So we've just had enough of this shit, and we're going to start to respond in a real way soon. You know, we're sick of the genocide and their terror, and we're going to start liberating ourselves by whatever means necessary. And, you know, the opportunity to resolve these issues has been there for a long time. Australia's not interested in resolving the issues of genocide, sovereignty or treaty. We've coined the phrase the Black GST, Genocide Sovereignty Treaties. Fundamental legal issues that are unresolved in the country, you know. We haven't got no protection in our own country, no relief from these crimes. You know, what's the rest of the world doing? What countries out there have got investments in this stolen land here? And you should know, pull out. Australia should be sanctioned like South Africa was, boycotted. They're disgusting. You know, the idea of apartheid come out of this country. It was adopted by South Africa in 1950. You know, eugenics was pioneered in this country. You know, it's this one hellhole, Australia. It's not the real name of it either. You know, like I said, we've got an identity and a culture. You know, most people wouldn't know the name of this country. And they're not going to know that until they come through our customs. So that's what we're saying, that non-Aboriginal people in this country should justify their occupation of our land and come through our customs and respect our law. We don't want it any other way. We don't want to assimilate into this dark age bullshit colonialism.
And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. Big ups to Stuart, Bart, Andy, Dennis, Trent and Steve for chipping in to help support my motherfucking reports from Australia. The NSIP Tour Down Under continues, so for details visit NSIP.com. I also want to let you motherfuckers know that I am now booking shows for the New Zealand and European legs of the tour. So to bring it to your fucking neck of the woods, just send me a fucking email. Stimulator@submedia.tv. To comment on this show, or to send me links to kangaroo meat marinades, just visit my fucking website, Stimulator.tv. And to paraphrase Malcolm X, I don't call it violence when it's self-defense. I call it intelligence.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.